In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this eighth Sunday after Pentecost, the Apostle Paul writes one of my favorite lines, "For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That's Romans 8:13. It's in today's epistle. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we also know, however, that it was at baptism that we became sons and daughters of God. So, how do we reconcile these two? Well, Paul is clear here that the spirit of adoption of our baptism is lived out in following the inspirations of the Holy Spirit every day. Listen again, Romans 8:13. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then he continues, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, this movement from slavery to crying out, Abba, Father, it of course reminds me of the prodigal son. And as you know, the prodigal son is in that faraway land, and he's destroying his body and his soul. And, you know, the father is waiting for this young man, even running to this young man, who essentially said to his father, "I wish you were dead," by just taking his inheritance in one fell swoop. Now, is the father's love for the prodigal son unconditional? This is a word that's being thrown around a lot. Well, we can look at it this way. Once back in the house, once the son is reconciled to the father, does he just sit around and talk about how great it is to be back in the father's house and the father's love? Yes, probably for a while, and in fact, probably for his whole life. But he also lives this out, because if the covenantal love is reciprocated, then after a period of recovery, he's going to be living in covenantal love, which of course has conditions. That's why you won't see the term unconditional love anywhere in the Bible. Covenants always have conditions, but the condition is love. How important is love? Well, let's look at this prodigal son when he returns to the father's house after that period of recovery. Does he get up and move and work and farm because he's simply afraid of the father, or because this father who waited on the horizon and ran and embraced him in all of his sin, who wept on his neck and brought him back into his house, even though by all accounts of justice he shouldn't have, why does he repay the father with work? Why does he function in his house? Is it just through fear of being back with the pigs in a faraway land? No, he's moved by the love of a father. And if you've ever seen a well-run Italian or Greek restaurant, the family actually works harder than the employees. Notice I said well-run. There's obvious exceptions to this. But I'll say that again. If you've ever seen a well-run Italian or Greek restaurant, the family actually works harder than the employees. Why? Because they love the father and trust the father. They've experienced his unconditional love, but that covenantal love becomes a two-way street. So they don't want to try that pigsty stuff again. They're excited to work there. And where is there? Well, in this analogy, it's the restaurant. But obviously, for what Jesus established, it's the kingdom. Those who return to the Father, they believe in this project because they believe in the Father's vision for the restaurant, or outside the analogy, the Father's kingdom. And remember, kingdom is this word that Jesus uses more than almost anything else. And the very earliest Christians believed that there were three branches to this kingdom: the church suffering, which is the church in purgatory; the church militant, which is the church on earth; and the church triumphant, which is the church in heaven. So let's look at that line again today. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So how important is charity or love in traditional Catholicism? Let me give you a story. I have a spiritual son who entered a very traditional order, and I asked him once, few quotes that I gave him from a certain pope, and I had him guess which pope said this, and he actually guessed a modern pope. Well, what I'm about to quote you is from a document called Unigenitus. And I want you to listen to these quotes and have you guess which pope said this, maybe even what century. And I'll give you the answer to the trivia after this. So Unigenitus number 53. Only charity in the Christian way makes Christian actions through a relation to God and to Jesus Christ. Number 54. It is charity alone that speaks to God. It alone that God hears. Number 55. God crowns nothing except charity. He who runs through any other incentive or any other motive runs in vain. Number 56. God rewards nothing but charity, for charity alone honors God. Number 60. If fear of punishment alone animates penance, the more intense this is, the more it leads to despair. Number 61. Fear restrains nothing but the hand, but the heart is addicted to the sin as long as it is not guided by a love of justice. Number 62. He who does not refrain from evil except through fear of punishment commits that evil in his heart and is already guilty before God. Just a couple more here. Number 63. A baptized person is still under the law as a Jew if he does not fulfill the law or if he fulfills it from fear alone. Number 64. Good is never done under the condemnation of the law, because one sins either by doing evil or, and catch this last part, or by avoiding it only through fear. So, this spiritual son of mine who entered a very traditional order, he guessed a modern pope, but here's the answer. That was all written by Pope Clement XI in 1713, 1713 AD. Listen to 56 again. God rewards nothing but charity, for charity alone honors God. And you know, there's been times in my life as a traditional Catholic, I'm not ripping on anybody out there, where I have found myself in simply slavery of doing the rules. And we have to realize that charity isn't just another virtue that's like a cherry on a cake. It is the lower layer of the cake, the middle layer of the cake, and the top layer of the cake. And so Pope Clement XI is clear that a slavish love, it's not even enough to attain salvation. So now do you see why Paul writes this line again, Romans 8:13? For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's the son, even after all that sinning, who returns to the father's house. And it's the older son who has lived by the rules, but does not understand the true covenantal relationship, because that bond of perfection, according to the Apostle Paul, is love. It is charity. Well, so how do you make yourself run on the supernatural charity? Just force your emotions? No, this is where the prayer life comes in, because it's in the prayer life that we come to see the goodness of the Father. It's in returning to Him, and sometimes that takes some very painful periods in silence, more than just reading website after website of bad news after bad news in the church. Really, we have to return to the Father's house if we're going to live in this love that is necessary, according to both the Apostle Paul and Pope Clement XI. And so the early Christians, when we hear this term kingdom, they were living for the kingdom of the Blessed Trinity. But it wasn't just the invisible community of believers, either in heaven or on earth. They also understood that the church militant had a hierarchy set up by the apostles. And that's because these men kept the love and the truth of Christ. And in doing that, they were easy to follow to their martyrdoms and death. But in maybe darker times in church history like now, if you're like me, you can make excuses for maybe not having charity and just sort of getting by. Well, the Lord's compassionate, but even in times of church history with maybe less courageous leadership, no Christian is cut off from the spirit of adoption except by his or her own sin. And that's because by the virtue of our baptism, when that water came over our head and the priest said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you became a living tabernacle of the Blessed Trinity, in communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so in some sense, the Beatles were right. All you need is love. This is really what it comes down to. Unfortunately, the Beatles had the wrong definition of love. In fact, there's a new book out called The Lennon prophecy, and there's really good evidence that John Lennon in December of 1960 sold his soul to Satan, and Satan made good on that 20 years later when he was killed by a man who claimed to be demon-possessed, exactly that same December, 20 years later in 1980. You can Google that. It's called the Lennon Prophecy. And so we see that, yeah, although all you need is love, we really got to get this definition down too. This is where truth comes in, where we have to study what the saints say. And what do the saints say about this? Well, we'll end on a positive note. How do we live the Christian life? It's prudence. It's wisdom. But according to St. Thomas Aquinas, counsel, that's one of the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. Counsel is supernaturalized prudence. What does that mean? It means following God's will at every moment of the day. It doesn't mean just avoiding mortal sins. It means sort of like if you've ever seen a granddaughter on her grandfather's feet at a wedding dancing. It's moving in concert in love, following God's will at every moment of the day. True Catholics follow the Holy Spirit's lead, not in slavery to the rules, but in love. A love of the Father and a love of the work, which is His one church. This, of course, fulfills the rules, but so much more. The glory of God and the salvation of many, many more souls besides just your own. Should we live charity as the beginning of the Christian life, the middle of the Christian life, and the end of the Christian life? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.